Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of I Don't Care with me, Dr. Kevin Stevenson. Always appreciate you taking the time to spend about a half an hour with me and my guests. You know, just as a reminder, you know, I Don't Care has been on for over 6 years now. It's amazing. You know, we're coming up on our 200th episode, and just, can't be more appreciative of the fact that, you guys keep tuning in. And so thank you for that. And we're always trying to do something a little bit different, want to improve the podcast. And so I had this crazy idea yesterday morning. I woke up and said, hey, why not interject just a little bit more, more personality, more, some things that have happened to me. And a number of people said, you've had some crazy things happen in your life. You've got some interesting stories. Why don't you write a book? I said, rather than write a book about that, let's just include this in I Don't Care. So we're going to start every episode going forward with a little session that I'm going to call Have I Got a Story for You? And I really want to try to tie these in with our guests and make sure that they feel included in my stories. And so today's guest and I have a real common passion for golf. And so have I got a story for you. So when I lived in outstate Nebraska, there was a golf course that's called Sand Hills Country Club. It's literally in the middle of nowhere. It's about 100 miles north of North Platte, Nebraska, in what is called outstate. And so I had an occasion to go that way. And so I'd always wanted to see the course. I'd heard a lot about it. And so I'm driving on a two-lane road and was told that it's not very well marked at all. And so I came upon a dirt road, and there literally is a wooden sign with painted sand hills and an arrow down the road. So I turned down the road. It's about a mile. And came up upon a beautiful clubhouse and some condominiums there on the river that ran alongside of it. Went inside. And, of course, the golf pro and I had some common connections. And so he said, you want to go see the course? I said, well, of course I do. That's why I came out here. So he gave me a golf cart, and I drove about, a half a mile on the cart path. And like I said, this is outstate Nebraska. There's a lot of scrub. There's a lot of sand hills, as the name says. And so I crested the hill, and it was absolutely gorgeous. It was this beautiful oasis. There were probably 12 of the 18 holes that you could see. There was a little turn shack there where they fed the golfers at the turn. Absolutely gorgeous. So I went back, and I'm talking to the pro again. He said, you want to hear a story kind of about the beginnings of sand hills? I said, of course I do. So he said, this was a Ben Crenshaw designed course. And so Crenshaw was out there, and he was sitting in the trailer, that they always put up whenever they're developing these properties. And he looks down the same dirt road that I came in on. And there's this old beat up truck coming down the road, kicking up dust and everything. So the truck gets there, and the guy gets out, and he's this Nebraska farmer. He's all dressed up. He's kind of dusty, kind of dirty, and walks up to the door, knocks on the door, and Crenshaw's up. Says, "Sir, can I help you?" And the guy said, "Yeah." He said, "What's it gonna cost to join out here?" And Crenshaw's like, kind of looks at him. He said, "Well, sir, it's going to be a pretty high-end club." He said, we expect some professional athletes and some other, some business leaders and all that to come out here. He said, so, and again, this was 25 years ago. He said, it's going to be about $100,000, maybe a little bit more just to join. And then we'll have monthly fees. And the farmer looks at him and says, "All right." And Crenshaw kind of grins, and he says, "Well, sir, do you play golf?" And he said, the farmer said, "No, but you're going to have a restaurant, aren't you?" So that kind of gives you a little idea about some of the clientele in Western Nebraska. Sand Hills, the school, going wonderfully well. Professional athletes like Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan have been members out there and will fly in and go play. I thought, I'd share that little story, and as I said, today's guest, Grant Luke, and I share that passion for golf. Grant, welcome to I Don't Care.
Thank you, Dr. Kevin. Appreciate that. It's funny you tell that story. It makes me think of, you know, an experience that I like to have. I play at what I call the Alabama Augusta. It's this place called Farm Links, and it's out in the middle of nowhere in Childersburg, Alabama, because everyone knows you travel to Childersburg to play world-class golf, right? And when you say, when you talk about your experience, that to me is like, oh, you know, this is the field of dreams of golf, right? And that's how I feel about Farm Links. It's just it's very similar type of experience where you go out, you're crossing pastures, you're going past Longhorn Steer, and then you come up on this just beautifully immaculate course, world-class greens, your quintessential Southern hospitality course. And so, yeah, we definitely share that golf passion. And so it's great to hear that we've had similar experiences.
Well, that's great. Well, Grant, you've sold me on Farm Lakes. We need to take a trip to Alabama and play out there.
Hey, anytime. There's
a couple of courses like that over in East Texas I bet we could squeeze
in. Between both of us, we might know the right people, so we can make that happen.
That sounds great. Well, hey, Grant, tell my audience a little bit about you, and let's talk about Cap Expert. I've done some research on that. Really excited to hear more about what Cap Expert and you are doing in the field of asset management.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, for us at Cap Experts, we just have a great team who is just really passionate about eliminating waste in the healthcare space. And as we're finding, you know, even well-run healthcare facilities, you know, like ASCs, you know, they're super efficient. But even within them, we're finding there's opportunities to decrease waste. And then as we get into larger facilities, you see a larger facility, the more waste there tends to be. And so we're just very passionate about helping folks reduce waste, especially when everyone's being asked to, like, hey, how can we find, you know, how can we cut costs? How can we save? How can we leverage our current data to make future decisions? And so that's really where we focus on and where we try and be better than anybody is helping them get that baseline data. And so what we've done is we've created a mobile application that uses AI, computer vision, and allows us to go into these healthcare facilities and inventory or catalog all of their assets and their service contracts, combine that information. And so we give them, I guess, what we call good data in, right, to give them a baseline so that now they can make all these decisions for, you know, forecasting budgets or procurement strategies or consolidating vendors or eliminating wasted spend on non-existent equipment with service contracts. And so we're very passionate about being the best and the fastest and the most accurate at getting these healthcare facilities a good, solid inventory or catalog or digitizing their assets, whatever you want to call it, so that they can then use that for a laundry list of initiatives or projects to help them achieve, you know, what their goals are when it comes to cost containment, sustainability, you know, making sure that they're, again, being, you know, financially responsible. And that's what we're doing. All we're doing is that we're coming in and we're giving you complete financial visibility and control over all of your medical equipment. And so that's really what we're passionate about over here at Cap Expert.
Well, I know, obviously, coming from the hospital side, I see, you know, the causes of waste in inventory. But from your perspective, what are the top two or three areas that you've seen in your hospital and health system clients, ASC clients, for that waste?
Mm-hmm. So the top ones would be they don't know what they have under their roof, and so they're repurchasing stuff they already have or can repurpose. And so we would call that redundant spend, right? You already have something in your system, whether it be ASCs or hospitals or outpatient radiology, behavioral health, especially the larger you get, there's a high likelihood there's someone in another location that has what you need already, and you don't have to purchase it again. You can just pay the shipping cost to have it reallocated somewhere. So that's probably number one is redundant spend. I think the second one that we see is surplus. we'll walk in again to some surgery centers, more so in hospitals, and we'll find lots of equipment that's just taking up space. And especially in like an ASC where square footage is just so precious, why are you wasting that space? And so getting rid of that surplus, either selling it or reallocating it to other parts of your system, is a great way to save and not have that waste. I think the third and final thing that we see is lack of consolidation or standardization. That's a huge initiative of every system, of every even individual site, independent. And what we're showing is that you can see a lot of different vendors with lots of different equipment, lots of different preventive maintenance contracts. And when you can't see that from a macro perspective, you're just flying by the seat of your pants, right? You're just sitting there putting out fires as they come up. Well, now you can be proactive and you can say, hey, maybe we can consolidate these vendors. Maybe we can consolidate these preventive maintenance contracts and to make where it makes sense. And so that's where we see another huge opportunity to save is in the consolidation of vendors for equipment as well as preventive maintenance.
No, I would agree with all three of those. You know, when you have multiple people purchasing, you know, it's kind of like when you're at your house, you know, you go to the grocery store, your spouse goes to the grocery store, you look in your pantry, and all of a sudden you've got 10 cans of cream corn and you only needed the one, right? You know, so I totally get it.
That's right.
Hey, so, so you're talking about how kind of your whole process starts with using a cell phone, basically going around and digitizing. So when you're creating that data, say, let's just say a pump. Okay. You know, you go around and you take a snapshot of the pump. Number one, the first thing, does it catalog where it is, its location at that current time, or is it just cataloging, hey, I've got XYZ pump?
So it's documenting location. And so that's what we're doing on top of all the other information. So we'll go on site and we'll get make, model, manufacturer. We get down to the serial number on all the equipment. We'll get useful life information. So we use AHA standards for useful life. So you understand, hey, maybe this is when I should replace it. We get age and we get open FDA recalls. Because if you're using a piece of equipment that has an open FDA recall, that's a huge patient risk. And it's a huge legal risk and compliance as well. And so we'll also capture location information on top of that. So is this in OR room 3? Is it in, you know, pre-op bay 1? Is it in oncology 2? And so we're capturing that on site while we're doing that as well.
What type of assets are we talking about? Any hard physical asset, I'm assuming, you know, beds, pumps, you know, whatever. And so, since you're collecting all of that data, yeah, and we all know about the mobility of equipment in a hospital or an ASC, you know, so I'm assuming that, you know, you pick up a snapshot of a piece of equipment in OR1, you get that same snapshot in 10, you can combine those. But how do you ensure that you accurately tag all of your assets?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I think that's where our proprietary AI algorithm comes into place, right? So as we're going through these facilities, even if we duplicate efforts or we're capturing the same thing, that quality control aspect of it is going to come through, and you're going to get 100% accuracy on your information in terms of not duplicating efforts. And I think that's one thing that it's very interesting to see the different solutions out there, whether it be something like RTLS or tracking. You're not going to have that really at the ASC level. You're not going to have it at outpatient radiology. You will have it in larger hospitals, and even those systems, they're usually pretty expensive to implement. They're hard to maintain, and so I think we're trying to develop something that is it empowers the end user, right? Where it's like, hey, they're the ones that can input the information and keep it updated. And so that's where, a lot of times, the hospitals, they use our inventory for a lot of downstream applications because they just want the baseline information so that they can use it with CMMS or accounting or, a litany of others. that's how they would use us at the hospital system specifically. But we're trying to capture as much as possible, and we capture equipment, and then we have a lot of folks, including our scope of work, a lot of different other things. Like we'll have, some people have a divestiture, right? And they said, hey, we want you to capture everything: equipment, office furniture, IT equipment, consumables, disposables. And so we'll capture all of that information. But we are really, really good, specifically at the more expensive pieces of equipment, the things that you would see on a biomed list or a biomed file, whatever's plugging it into the wall or touching the patient is what
Okay,
we
very
focus
good.
on.
Now, are you putting any kind of physical tag on the asset as you're cataloging it, or is it just all digitized?
It's all digitized because we'll walk in, and a lot of times, like they'll have biomed stickers already on those, and they'll be tagged, and we'll take all that information and combine it with the biomed files as well. So that way, you've got kind of one source of truth.
Yeah, I can see, saving your baseline, and then as you add in inventory, then you just add to your list. So that would be very helpful. Tell me a little bit about Cap Expert. How long has it been in existence? Some of the major clients that have utilized your services.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't share the clients, unfortunately, but I can give you numbers, right? So Cap Expert's been around for about 5 years. Got its start in 2020. The founder actually created it, like any good founder, in his basement trying to solve a problem. And so Luke Johnson, the CEO, he basically said, there's got to be a better way to do this, right? There's got to be a better way to track our assets and be able to share this information. And so that's how he did it. He created this in his basement in 2020 during the pandemic, like any other great entrepreneur at the time, and then started scaling it from there. And so he brought on another co-founder, another person that is from Surgery Partners, ASC Management Company, Devin Telkin, another co-founder, and then another guy, ex-Google guy, Pete Stahl, the chief product officer. He's the brains. He's Dr. Oz behind the curtain, making it all work. And so between those three guys, they have created Cap Expert and really pushed for adoption of this technology and platform across mainly ASCs. So right now we have probably over, I'd say probably at least over 600 ASC customers. We have several MSOs, so it's a combination of imaging, clinical, and ASCs, and that number is probably over about 100 and about 50 now. And then we have project-based work, which is just the inventory piece. And we've had multiple hospitals have us come in and do this initial inventory. And again, it's nice because it's just project-based. It's just a one-time fee, and everyone loves and can approve one-time fees a lot faster than any subscription. We now have had over, I guess we'll say 700 plus customers in general. And at this point, probably 15 or 20 plus acute care projects with hospital systems, and we're growing, pretty quickly as we scale and as we get, more and more customers, more and more interest, and now we're getting referrals because we've had customers and people are saying, hey, you should check these guys out, and now we're partnering with, biomed teams at these large hospitals because they can use that technology and we can license it to them. So it's very exciting being on, this. I mean, it's a startup, right? Being on a startup and finding what works and having a close-knit team that, I mean, we're all hustling and working hard. So it's been fun to see how excited people get when you tell them what you're doing. They're like, man, I could have used this 3 years ago when I was doing this inventory or whatnot. And so the product market fit is there. Now it's just a matter of getting our products and talking to the right people and getting it adopted.
You've hit the nail on the head because this is such an issue among hospitals and health systems. Just we're trying to be as financially efficient as possible, and your three examples of the waste really resonate with me as a hospital operator, and so I totally understand that. Have y'all considered, during your growth model, are you going to ever get outside of healthcare? Are you going to stay with what brought you to it?
Yeah, so healthcare is where we have all of our connections, because even though in the world of AI, it's still relationship selling, right? You have relationships, you still have people making the decisions with vendors. We've already explored a little bit of a foray into other industries because if, again, if we could take a picture to log something or to catalog it, that's got to have other industry applications. And sure enough, we're finding that it does. And so we've taken a couple of projects that are outside healthcare, and it's been pretty fruitful. But what we know, who we know, more importantly, it's in the healthcare space. And so we're really good with ASCs, outpatient radiology. We're getting even better with acute care systems with these inventory projects. So healthcare is always going to be our main focus. And then as these other industries see what we're doing, we'll incorporate those as well where it
Okay.
makes
Well,
sense.
very good. Well, what's next for you? What's next for CapExpert down the road? You've got a really solid product, I can tell you that, because it fills the need that's out there. But what are some thoughts on the expansion opportunities other than outside of healthcare?
Yeah, so I think outside of healthcare, it's understanding the needs of the business that we're not as familiar with, right? So, we understand healthcare and the needs of the business really well. So, as we get into other things like restaurant business or DoD or these other things that you're trying to catalog and digitize this information, it's gonna be really interesting to see how we have to change. But as a small company, we can pivot and be really, really agile. But again, most folks, they don't have the tolerance to be a guinea pig. And so that's always the thing that we're trying to look out for is like, hey, what's a customer that is okay with us coming in and learning, right? If we're not an industry expert, in whatever industry we're being called into. I think there's just so much opportunity in healthcare. It's hard to look elsewhere as we form relationships, especially with like kind of distribution partners with GPOs, their account management teams, their non-acute teams. There's just so much opportunity for everyone to benefit from what we're doing. And so, we'll definitely incorporate the other industries and scale on other industries, but there's just so much more we can do with scaling and just in healthcare that's going to be the focus for quite a while.
Well, hey, in the last couple of minutes, any last words, Grant, that you want to share with my audience about, just about inventory management and asset management as a whole?
I think the biggest thing that we touch on is we believe that asset health is a leading indicator for future revenue stability and patient safety. And that is our motto, right? Like, hey, like if your assets aren't healthy, if you don't know what's going to happen, your future revenue is at stake and you're putting your patients in danger. So we're like the insurance to that. And so if you know your asset health is good, that you can rely on those revenue projections, right? And so that's really what we focus on. And any, healthcare leader or advisor would agree on the asset health being that leading indicator. Like your P&L is a lagging indicator, your asset health is a leading indicator. So that's the biggest thing I think I would leave folks with is, do you know what your asset health is? And if you don't know, it's easier than you think to find out.
Okay. Well, great. Grant, I really appreciate it. This has been very interesting. This is one of those topics that, unless you're a healthcare geek like you and me, you don't really think about asset management and all that, but you're exactly right. Your asset health is certainly a key to future indicators. And so with that, Grant, thanks so much for joining me on I Don't Care today.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Kevin, for having me. Even though I'm an Auburn fan,
Yeah,
you still let me on, and I appreciate
well, here we go now. You didn't
that.
have to throw that in. That's all right. No,
Awesome.
the
Appreciate
Big
it.
12 and the SEC can be friends. It's fine. We'll be okay. That's great. Thanks so much. Grant Luke with CapExpert. Thanks so much for joining me today on I Don't Care. And for all of you who joined us during this conversation, thank you as well. And I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of I Don't Care with me, Dr. Kevin Stevenson. Take care.